What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to the Deception After Show. Woo. And we have an amazing episode for you tonight. We're talking about getting away clean. We're talking vanishing dead bodies. We're talking secret torture chambers. We're talking burning beds, people, here on Deception. Come right back for all of that and more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, every episode I always find a song that I like from the episode. I'm always amazed by that because that does not usually happen. What's up, After Buzzers? Again, we're here with an amazing special guest, not to mention an amazing episode. So how cool is it to have the writer of the episode here to talk to you about that episode, people? That's how we do. All right, you guys, welcome to After Buzz, the Deception After Show. I am your host, Erica Edwards. But of course, I couldn't do it without my amazing panelists and our special guest tonight, Joe, the writer of this episode. Introduce yourself. Let us know.
Joe, the writer of this episode, Paracchio. That's my middle name.
Yes, the writer of Getting Away Clean.
Getting Away Clean. My name is Joe Paracchio. I'm on the writing staff of Deception.
Yay.
And couldn't be happier about it.
We couldn't be happier. We love this show.
Thank you. This episode was so fun. Thank you. Thanks for having me here. It's super cool. I love your show too.
Thank you. Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones.
And I'm Cherry Davis.
All right, you guys. We're back here, episode 9. And I feel like with the double headers and the mystery woman, we're kind of like, okay, we're getting back into like how we usually do on Deception. So what did you guys think overall of the entire episode, this episode? Kind of getting back into our usual swing of
what
things.
What did you think? I'm ready.
We kept it real with Chris. We're going to keep it real with you.
Okay.
I loved it. I like the fact that they're giving, you know, Jordan a hard time for keeping the secret, but then Gunter has his own secret, and I just love this. Like, I love mystery rooms, I really do. I'm a big fan of House of Anubis. That was on Nickelodeon. It's all about this house that had underground tunnels and backroom doors. I'm just like, I want to be living in this house. So I kind of want to live in the archives now just explore that newfound territory we just stepped into. And I'm like so excited to see what happens next.
Cool.
I really like that this episode enriched your how we got to know everyone's relationship and their place. And Cameron's friendship with Jordan is so different than everyone else's. I really enjoyed that this episode highlighted how they interact with one another.
Oh, well, cool.
Cool. So, since obviously you wrote it, we know you love it. but let me ask you this on the writing front. How do you all determine, since it's a group of writers, what made this your episode?
Well, you mentioned Chris earlier, my boss, Chris Fedak, the creator.
He was here a few weeks ago.
He is, you know, the all-knowing, the all-powerful. He determines who's going to write what episode.
Okay.
And so I was basically assigned episode 9. But when we got to breaking the episode, Chris was in New York, and he was working on other episodes, you know, because he has to fly up there periodically to sort of, like, help things along. He's the showrunner, you know, he's in charge of everything. So while I was in L.A. and he's in New York, he's like, work in the writer's room with everybody, come up with some good pitches, you know, for what episode 9 could be, and just email them off to me. So I mean, some big episodes, some like crazy episodes, like, you know, disappearing this and vanishing that and, like, you know, duplicating. I was like, all kinds of crazy stuff. And he's like, oh, I love that, and espionage. And I had this whole idea for this big heist in Radio City Music Hall and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, oh, I love this and I love this. And put those together, and when I get back into town, we'll try to break it. Awesome. And it was like the biggest episode ever. And he comes into town and I pitch my face off to him. This great episode that I thought he really wanted. And he just looks at me and he goes, you know, I was thinking, how about a small town cop in Brooklyn? And I was like, all right, cool. Like, cool. And then he and I start jamming on it and what it could be and, you know, what, you know. But I guess the basics are that, like, all those ideas are on the shelf and you may even see them in other episodes upcoming. But at this point, like you said, we're getting back to sort of how Deception does. After the double header of 7 and 8,
yes.
Right? You know, the big mystery woman mythology and all that. His instinct was, we need to do a down-home, towny episode.
Right.
That really makes New York City a character. We've been on with Elon Musk, and we've been, you know, on all these big giant things. Let's do something that's really New York, where New York is a character, where it's like, and it's a character role, a great character role for somebody. And Cameron's going to need some redemption after what he's done.
Right.
So let's create a show, an episode that gives him a vehicle for redemption, you know. And so it became a real character show instead of a big action thing that I was trying to create. So
very, very cool. So we open this episode with our, you know, murder or heist or whatever it's going to go, the theme of the episode. And so what I liked about the opening is that even the gangsters know how to do deception tricks here. So, the cop witnesses a murder, and boom, no, it didn't happen. You're just a drunk. And and so, boom, we're right there. And we see, you know, and so nobody believes the cop, but Cameron does. And I like the fact that Cameron feels like, to me, in this cop, he can redeem this cop the same way he is struggling to redeem his brother. And so, you know, there's sort of like that tie to fight for this person that's misunderstood. And I can win this even if I'm not winning with Jonathan right now. So I kind of liked that aspect of it. And it was so interesting because at first they were like, yeah, this is just cheddar cheese. I know you found the blood of cheese, but we don't know what that is. That's garbage. And so he kind of goes it alone without Kay a little bit in the investigation process in the beginning, which I thought was kind of a cool, you know, kind of a cool different way to kind of get back into things because Kay is still salty. So, you know.
I have a couple questions about that personally. Okay, so.
Okay.
How long was he knocked out for? Question one. Question two, did he smell bleach? Because I'm trying to figure out how you cleaned that blood so cleanly. And if you didn't use bleach, there's the smell to bleach. Questions the cop could have asked. Like, sorry, I just had to. I have questions.
and to piggyback on her question, what I thought Cameron was going to do when he was there was, I was like, oh, is Cameron going to have that luminol stuff? Because even if they wipe that blood down, it's still in those cracks.
Right?
But clearly we watched a lot of really, really hardcore mortar shows. So
yeah, I'm like, let's turn the lights. SVU and stuff.
We'll take this back from the first 48. But we,
and the clerk. Did he really work there? Because that was, yeah, now that you're,
that's
yeah,
a good question.
The clerk. Because he was like, yeah, I work here. And I'm like, but you're a criminal and you sell.
But he was there the second
some
time.
Sort of too, drug. So like, yeah,
and, work there. And on a side note with that, I need to find out who actually owned this bodega. Because, yeah, your first clerk was murdered. And now you just hired this other killer. And he's just there covering up stuff. But answer her question.
Yes,
Joe. Wow, just Joe. So many questions. Well, I don't know.
He's like, I'm all about the magic.
Totally.
He's like, you just got so much at me. I don't even know which one I'm answering first. Yeah, I mean, like,
okay, so first of all, it's a cop who's conducting this situation.
Right.
Officer Baker, the bad guy,
yeah.
Right?
So obviously he knows how to clean up.
He knows how to clean up a crime scene. He knows how to make sure the luminol is not going to be found. He knows how to not use bleach. He knows how to, you know.
See, I mean, that's when you know you got a good writer.
He's an expert.
Yes, and.
And this is a dude, who's figuring out a way to smuggle drugs out of his heist, get them onto the street through these dudes to be sold in the park, to be sold through this bodega, to be sold all these places. He can clean up a crime scene. He can figure some stuff out.
Okay.
You know, you got your the question about the owner. That owner.
I know. Like, this,
he's not going to talk.
Yeah, that's true. You know I'm from Chicago. I know how these people get down. You're absolutely right.
He doesn't know what it, and yes, the both clerks did work there.
Oh, they really did work there. Okay.
You know, there's a scene in, where when they figure out it was Tommy Ramos, they find him in Rockaway Inlet. He was floating, you know, whatever. He'd only worked there a short amount of time.
Right.
That's why Mazin had never seen him before. Because
yes,
the towny neighborhood cop. Never saw him before.
Neighborhood policing.
Yes.
Yeah. And where's my bodega cat? Meow. Meow.
I know you want the bodega cat. I know. For all you New Yorkers, sorry we didn't have a bodega cat. We tried. We tried in the writer's room to have a bodega cat. We had all these pitches about the cat smuggling drugs and all this kind of stuff. And finally we were just like, we can't do the cat.
So how many times did Mazin get knocked out while they clean this up? I'm just curious.
How many times?
Would you say Mazin maybe got knocked out more than once we saw for them to clean
how
up?
How many takes did it take?
Honestly, I think it was like two takes for that. Just two different camera angles to get that.
That's not bad.
Okay. When you have an actor as good as Adam Ferrara.
Exactly.
He did a really good
job.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he's also an amazing comedian as well.
It certainly is.
So, all right. So Cam and...
Jordan.
And Jordan are working together kind of to solve the case. And what's interesting is at first Maslin, the cop. Is he a detective? He's a former detective.
He's not a detective.
Former detective, because, yeah, you know, he had a problem with the booze. And so, but, you know, now he feels like this is his chance for redemption, very much like Jonathan. And so he kind of buys into Cameron's, I'm sort of with the FBI, I'm an observer, I cover up the name of the badge. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that the cop could not read. Like, this is like a day pass, dude. But I will say, you know how it is, when you want to follow your dreams, you find that person that there to be on your team, you know, you go for it. So they identify the drug dealer, and so they set up the sting operation, and lo and behold, we see the fake hand again. Yay. It reminded me of that Oprah photo where she had three hands of something on Variety. It was very interesting because I was like, yeah, Georgia has way too many hands, but you know how it is. When you're selling drugs, you're very occupied.
You're handsy.
Exactly. So we find out that Jordan is quite the drug dealing pickpocket. And so just at that point, the FBI is kind of getting back in the groove with Cameron. Like, okay, Cameron brought us a little blood that turned out to be right. So the heat is on. And Jordan and Cameron are in the thick of it, facing, following drug dealers. So what are your thoughts, ladies?
First of all, Jordan was so cute when he was walking up to us on his little moped. And then he was walking away. He's like, yeah, Jordan, hey. Love Jordan. I really like Jordan.
So do I. Justin Chan. Who doesn't love him?
He was hilarious. Now, with that particular trick, do you guys come in and they say, we want to use, does David Kwan and the other magician associate consultant person say
Francis
we want
Minotti.
To use,
yeah.
Yes, if they want to use a certain trick in an episode, or do you guys sort of build it around the episode already?
It's actually really, it's one of the reasons that I loved my first day on this job, because we have yes, David Kwan, he's our LA based magician, so he's the one who works with us in the writer's room. Francis is the magician who works with us on set in New York.
Oh.
And so they are always talking, and they crisscross sometimes, but in general, what's amazing about these two dudes, beyond being just super talented, is David is really a puzzle master, you know, and he's a sleight of hand magician. I mean, he's like all this, but he's a puzzle master, so all the puzzles that you see, like, he really concocts a lot of that stuff. And where they're like Olympic rings is their performance. But what Francis is great at is the building of tricks. He's like the Gunter.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So and they
or
both
the Jonathan.
Yeah, or the Jonathan in that way. Yes. But they're both super talented and in all kinds of ways. So anyway, what we do, and what David told us on the day one of the job, was he goes, you guys as the writers come up with the effect you want to see. Then we'll reverse engineer and create a trick.
Cool.
Or
okay. Cool.
That can create that effect.
Right.
Or you think of an effect, and I'll be able to tell you, oh, there is a trick for that, and we'll do it, and I'll teach you how to do it, and then you'll write it into the script. So it's really, we get massive amounts of creativity, you know. And at the same time, he puts us through a little bit of magician school sometimes in the room, where he gives us, you know, lectures and talks on theory and all this kind of stuff, and when we come up with ideas from that, and he shows us tricks in the room, and we're like, oh, we'll use that, you know, and we put it in an episode. So it's like, it's back and forth.
Okay.
And what I kind of like about this particular episode and a few others is that sometimes the theme of the episode is kind of going along with a magic trick and carried throughout the entire episode, like in different ways. So getting away clean was the whole thing about at the end of, you know, your magic trick or whatever, you have clean hands, thus they wipe the blood clean, thus all these, you know, that kind of just kept popping up throughout the episode.
You ditch the evidence of the trick.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So when he tears up the card and he's like giving that example, you think I tore up your card, but I didn't. I replaced it. So it's like, you know, you ditch the evidence of the trick, the torn up stuff.
Exactly.
That disappears.
Exactly.
And I just replaced the card and you thought it was magic.
Exactly.
You know?
And in each, not quite every scene, but in several of the scenes, that is basically what somebody is doing, whether it be the criminal or our team. So I think that's so clever in the writing, where it's like that theme is driving the entire episode. So I really love that. So, So they follow the Kay. Kay again is always going solo. Okay, I always say this. I was like, Kay, like sometimes she barely, Mike might be dragging way behind, but she's always like there by herself, no backup. I was like, are you the only person in the New York FBI office? Like, where are your people? But so
she's a superhero.
She's right, keeping it exactly, exactly. She's like Wonder Woman. I don't need anybody. No, it's just
Spider-Man in the alley.
Yes. Yeah, so she, like, jumps down. She's like, stop, FBI. And I'm like, okay, it's a dark alley and you're by yourself, girl. But she got him, so.
I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. She's tough.
And 4-inch heels.
Well, yes. She knocked him down with a letter. She did. Yes. He down.
Yes, yes, yes. So, so now, what's interesting, and I think we kind of mentioned this when Chris was here as well, because there was another episode where we had a quick glimpse of the New York PD. And I was like, yeah, they're kind of like the bad guy. And because they were kind of like dumb in that episode. And in this episode, they are like blatantly, you know, corrupt. And so Cameron knows that this officer Baker is corrupt because he witnessed the drug dealer talking to him. And so now it's like, okay, well, how are we going to trap him? Now that they have the killer and everybody's lawyered up, which is, you know, what killers do, which is actually surprising because, you know what, to be honest, in almost every other episode we've seen where they, because they usually do kill, like, I mean, excuse me, they usually do catch the accomplice or they catch some random person. And that person in every other deception episode has sold out.
Yeah.
Their drug lord or whoever, like, they're not worried about death. But these particular New York killers remain silent. And so all we have is Cameron's word. So, so they're trying to trap him. And so I feel like it's interesting, how, you know, the sort of deception that they come up with.
Well, I don't think they'd feel comfortable turning on Detective Baker because he was really quick, even with Cameron, who he knew had FBI friends, was like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot you. And you were fighting me. And I have a drop gun. I thought he was going to say, I have a drop gun right here. And shoot you. I thought that was really plays into my fear sometimes of the police and watching things on the news.
Well, yeah, and the thing that's scary to me about it, too, is, like, we got Baker at the end, but I think fundamentally, I mean, not to be all anti-cop here, but there's never just one bad cop. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other people in there. Like, I don't know who, but there are other people in there. And, but that being said, you guys, if you want to have something fun and exciting and you're not a bad cop, we have something for you to listen to.
I know. Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sis you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was Deception!
Yes, that would be us.
Who sent you there? Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Yay. It's a fabulous, fabulous podcast, and Lord knows I need to get my life together. and Maria helps me every week, guys.
Yes.
Okay, so before we get to how we actually capture you know, Baker, let's talk about, because what I like when we kind of get back to the old format that we're used to is there's always kind of that scene or the couple of scenes that take place in the archive. So we kind of see how the team comes together to support Cameron and or Jonathan, depending on the episode. And so here we get to see finally, Dina and Mike kind of take it to the next level. Because they kind of been, you know, like, cute flirting, but it's like, get with the program. So they are finally hooking up. And it's so cute. Now, personally, I'm like, why can't you just tell them you ordered in? But I understand she wants to be a master chef. But it was so adorable. And I'd love to see them finally kind of clicking and getting together.
Every date starts with a dang lie. Yes, I love to cook. Yes, I love football. That's how it works, even when you're gorgeous like Dinah.
Wow.
And that was so cute. And they're already reaching the stage where she's going to meet his children.
I love how you use I love football as a lie. I don't know why I love it so much. I just found that hilarious.
That is a lie.
I guess for some people, because I love football. Let's go. Super Bowl can come right back around. Thank you so much.
I hate all sports. I always lie and say, like, anything the man I'm dating likes. And like some, I stay with the lie and never, ever admit that I was lying.
Okay, well, I don't lie, but I am open to new things, right? So if I don't love it, I am open to learning.
But when you're trying to impress someone on your first date,
right,
you try to put forward what you think they want.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. And he's a single dad with right. two little boys, you know? And she knows that, you know, he's not home cooking dinner every night. Like, you know, like she wants to be what she thinks he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the idea for that was.
Right. And what I thought was so cute.
It's from her heart.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I loved. And what I liked so much about that scene was the thing about the napkin and she's throwing it away and stuff. And I'm like, it's so cute that he, like, I mean, he brings it up later, but he clearly goes along with it. Because I'm like, well, isn't he a detective with the FBI? Like, he cannot be this dense. But I love the fact that, like, you know, when you sometimes, depending on your man, if you burn your meal, he will pretend it's still good. They yes. do that when they like you. And so that was adorable. So then we see Gunther and Jordan kind of trying to get together and investigate this photo, which, and I guess this was the only thing for me. I mean, I know we spent so much time with the mystery woman and stuff, but like, I did want a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, where is she at? What's going on? I honestly wanted a few more of her tidbits, but what we find is like this secret. Gunther's like finds this secret trap room. And he's like, is he getting shocked? Like, it was just all this stuff going on down there. And we hear, what is this? Voices from beyond? Like, how did the great grandma
sign
it? Yes. I know. I was like, wow. He's like, if anybody comes down here 1,000 years later, this machine is still going to work. I love that. I love his forethought.
Well, dictaphones, if they're preserved correctly, they can survive a good while.
Okay, like, what is preserved correctly? Down in someone's dark basement? I don't know what those preservations are.
It'd be dry and cool down there, no light, because those aren't regular records. They're made out of, like, a different material.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Wax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he trips a line when he steps in that sets off all the... I mean, this is an elaborate... This is like the builder for Houdini.
Right.
I mean,
but
come
on. I know, but I'm just amazed. I feel like somewhere we're going to go into Egypt and find, like, King Tut's magician stuff. And yes. I love that.
Someone told you that idea already?
You can use that.
Chris, we can't do that
now. No. We work with you. You can totally have that next season. Next season. You can have it. You can have it.
I'm going to get fired.
So I loved that part.
I was just... You fail, and you decide, like me, if I'm falling into a cross, I'm staying where I'm at. I don't have the need to search for nothing. I have self-preservation I got to worry about, and my self-preservation says to stay here. I really am not the type to search.
Gunther is, like, big and bad. And like,
Gunther has an accent that, like, will scare some people probably when he gets mad. Gunther so Gunther, like, can do what he wants to do.
Gunther, like, 3 bad days away from being a serial killer. If you get Gunther 3 bad days, he's gonna start killing people.
And there's that whole story thing that we do all the way through where, you know, he's in the war. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right. What war?
Yes,
and he's like,
war?
I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
You know, it's like, what war is it? You know, Jordan's like so confused. What is it? He's got a mysterious background. Gunther.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I write for the show and I don't even want to know his background. Like, I'm scared.
Yes. Yeah. I love Gunther as a character because I feel like, oh, yes, the darkness.
I want a love interest for Gunther for some reason. I just want to see how that, like, how he reacts to that.
And who's his Keep baby watching. Mama and the daughter. But I thought they were going to do like a whole ghost.
Baby mom and daddy. I mean, yeah.
Gunther has a child in Australia or somewhere. Because didn't he talk on the phone to a child who I assume was adult?
He does?
I thought he did.
When?
Like 2-3 episodes ago?
I need to rewatch then.
Anyway, I thought they were going to have like a ghost or something with the
But you know what's so funny about this discussion is Joe is quiet the whole time. He's like, I'm not going to confirm or deny.
That's right.
Because we're getting renewed.
Looking at
That's
you.
Right.
And I thought, he's going to pick my side because I'm his favorite panelist.
Oh, debatable.
You're all my favorite panelist.
But Erica brings snacks, so there's that.
That's true. When you bring cupcakes, you're the favorite.
Yay. Okay.
How about baking soap?
All right. Party people. Let's get back. Okay. So we find the trap room and we see Dina and Mike have that special moment. And then we kind of are going back to Cam and his infiltration of the NYPD. And yeah, I don't know what to say about New York police officers. Okay, so because first of all, it's like he's a magician. How is he like whatever that little tool is that random? Even I don't even know if real carjackers use that tool anymore.
Yeah.
He's like they randomly. Still use them. Yeah. He's like randomly trying to get up in there. I was
That's
like,
a
okay,
Slim Jim.
Yeah,
Slim Jim.
Right.
Slims in and opens the door.
Yes, exactly. But I do feel like car thieves have progressed. But that's me.
On older cars, they can still use that. I think on new cars.
But I'm not saying that they can't. I'm not saying that they can't at all.
Well, the car he had was an old classic, so you have to use a Slim Jim.
What I'm saying is the police officer is such an idiot because he was like, this is the number one, or at least number two, magician in the world, and he's using a Slim Jim to get into the car. So maybe he's setting me up, but no, we're talking NYPD blue. So, so they take in Cameron, who's like randomly stealing a car, hilarious. And he's like, yes, Baker is going to talk to you for a long time.
I've seen your special, so I know what's going to happen. But like, dude, like, if you see my special, why do you think two handcuffs is going to stop me?
Thank you. If you see my special, why do you think I'm using a Slim Jim on a car? That is exactly my point. If you saw me in Vegas, what do you think is going on here? But that's why that cop had not made detective yet.
You know, I'm here. I'm sitting in the room. You know that, right?
Okay. Well, we like that cop. I like the way he was smirking and go, you're going to get in trouble. I really like the cop.
He did a great job.
He did a really good
job. I love it when he was all cool stuff and he was like, and he's going to talk to you long.
Don't take his time.
I was like, wait a minute. This is a romantic interlude? He's like a TOD. He like.
Well, they had the cuffs.
Exactly. I was like, ooh.
If you're into it. That's all I got.
Consent.
So Kay finally. Exactly.
What, we have an R rating for this show?
No, it's YouTube. We can do whatever we want here.
Life.
No one told me.
No.
Well, now I'll tell you what really happens behind the scenes. Never
mind. No, we want to know.
So back to the deception.
Yes, right.
Exactly. We're staying on track, people. Okay. So Cameron gets in. And now this was my question, too, about when I was watching it. Because I don't have a TV. So sometimes I'm watching it on smaller things like my laptop or my tablet or my phone. I wish I had that watch, though. Anyway, so the part that I was confused by was when Gunther and Jordan were coming in, it seemed like that was happening at the same time as Cameron was there, was being handcuffed or whatever. And so I was kind of like, wait a minute, they're coming in to paint like in the middle of the night? Like that whole, the timing of it was, did they come in earlier?
I thought they came in earlier.
It was flashing back and forth or?
Yeah, it was going back and forth.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But obviously, Detective Baker is not smart. He gets caught in his deception. Like, really, but like, I'm with Cherry on that. Like, I kind of am afraid of, like, if I step in the interrogation room, we're just going to push things over and I get the fall. I'm sorry. No. I need recording devices hidden somewhere on me just for, like, my protection.
I actually thought they were going to do a boxing scene. That's what I wanted. I wanted Mike to be in the gym. And he's like, oh, wait, once he said the gloves, the Coke is in the gloves. I was like, ooh, they're going to go to that boxing ring. But no shirts were lost and no bodies were seen.
I fought for it, but we couldn't get it.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you looking out for the fans.
The best I did was, you know, Mike's into MMA, mixed martial arts.
Yes, yeah. We've seen that.
Maybe we'll
Twitter
see that
feed.
Down the road.
Yes, yes.
Ooh.
Now that would be nice.
You never know. I'm teasing. I'm teasing so many things.
Oh, see, that's why you guys have to tune in to AfterBuzz, because we have the secret juice.
Oh.
Okay, so... And so anyway, so Jordan and Gunther set up the deception earlier for those people who are like me and didn't really know, and which was so cool. So, you know, and so finally they catch Baker. But again, like I said, and the captain was kind of back there watching with, you know.
Officer Meslin.
Officer Meslin and, you know, the rest of the crew. But I kind of wondered, like, is the...
captain in on
captain
it.
Captain in on it.
I don't think the captain was in on it, but I think that that black detective was in on it.
Well, yeah, the black detective was, clearly. But I feel like there still should be somebody there that we don't know about, because all they got was Baker.
Well, you know, Baker comes in with the gym bags, with right. those other officers behind him, one of whom is the officer...
Is the black officer.
Who, yeah, the African-American okay. officer who busts...
Cameron.
So it's like, we can assume that once we got him,
we
got all of them.
Okay. Yeah.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Because I feel like if Baker's going down, he's not going down alone. He's going to take okay. everybody it's he can
everybody.
With him.
Everybody's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But speaking okay, cool. of going down,
okay.
Jonathan maybe.
Poor right. Jonathan. Yes. When is he going to be free?
So Jonathan.
Back to the my favorite scenes, the prison scenes. So,
really?
Yes.
No, it's a real thing.
Jonathan's very real thing. Every week, I'm like, Jonathan is going to get it in prison. I watch a lot of prison shows as well. So, and so that's what that's I said awesome. Last time. Jonathan was on this kicking on this vacation. He's going to get a hard time when he gets back. And that's exactly what they delivered. Yes. So he gets back, and I'm like, first of all, I mean, what kind of guard will let you go in and hang a rat up in somebody's cell? That was like so
someone
horrible.
On the tape.
In from the prison?
Just so that was horrible. Horrible, horrible. So Jonathan comes back.
Why are there
back.
So many rats in there?
Well, yeah, it is prison. But Jonathan comes back and there's like rat all over his place and he knows he's in trouble.
And blood. Ew. I see it was written in blood.
Yes.
Rat.
Yes, yes.
I felt bad.
We hope it was blood.
We hope
it
was. I didn't even go there.
It's
ew.
Rat blood.
Yes. And so this guy offers to help him. And Jonathan's like, why? And he's like, I know what it's like to be scared. And I'm like, okay. You know, Jonathan is smart. And he was, because I was like, I ain't believing that. And luckily, Jonathan didn't either. But he did have this guy help him get some tricks. So what did you guys think about Jonathan and his... prison, you know, issues.
Armor with the magazines was clever.
That was
I liked
so
that
clever.
Very much. I was like, why is he reading outdoor magazines? Is he fantasizing about getting out? That's pointless. But instead, you know, he pulled his little magic trick, so that was awesome.
Right. I thought he was going to be fantasizing about the chicken Iceland. You know what I mean? That's where I went with it. I was like, oh, he's remembering when he first met the mystery woman. But no, we're so glad that Jonathan is so much more together than we are.
He's hoping he sees her in a magazine.
Exactly. No, I thought he was going to look at Iceland and just recall Reykjavik or Reykjavik or whatever. And so I'm so glad he did not do that because he would be dead now. Yes. So what was interesting about that was the whole burning bed, you guys. I know you all were wondering what I was talking about. So this guy tries to shank him. He doesn't. Jonathan like beats him up, and then I'm like, wow, these prisoners are smarter than I thought. So then they set that guy on fire and set Jonathan up for it. Ah, amazeballs.
But like, legit, if Jonathan did it, he wouldn't be getting caught. Like the whole point, that was the case. Like if I really did it, you wouldn't know. Let's just be clear.
Well, right, but we don't know. We don't know because for a second I was like, was Jonathan that mad? I thought that for a minute.
It defeats the purpose for him to have done it.
Yeah,
because he wants to get out. Like anything that prolongs his time in there is time that he That's actually true. Can eventually get shanked. In
That's
prison,
true, but
so.
Unless they prove that he did it, and to me they don't. I almost thought he did for a second. I was like, Jonathan wasn't that mad though. And then I was like, I know he was mad. He wasn't that mad. I mean, did he do it? Because.
No.
I was like, wait a minute, what were those little things the guy brought? Was it gas? I was like, it's magic. How'd he get the guy? So I see what you're saying, actually, on that. Because at first, I was like, he could have done it. And I was like, not my Jonathan.
And he was trapped in the jail cell with the doors locked. The other guy was playing with the lighter switch. Or
lighter.
Whatever you call it, lighter. So I'm sure they'll try and blame him for it. But he has that FBI pull. But really, the FBI pull really should put him in a minimum security, or at least in like
pull him out something
in a less poor person's prison.
But with this FBI, no. Okay.
Well, I think that, and of course, I don't know. I think that the question is somebody framing Jonathan or someone protecting Jonathan?
Ooh, dun dun dun.
Question.
Or did Jonathan do it?
How do you protect somebody by framing them for murder?
No. What he's saying,
I'm saying
is
punish anyone.
Which
who
one is
he's
it?
Going
punishing because
that guy tried to kill John.
Yeah, that is how prison. As the expert on prison TV shows, that is how prison works. Your gang takes care of you. So if somebody tries to take you out, you take them out. That's
or
all that
you're
is.
The rat, and someone's trying to frame you for something.
Yes.
So okay, you'll get thrown in the hole.
Thus, the good
Tune
writing.
Tune into episode 10.
So the theory Okay, so if somebody's protecting him, the only person could be is Winslow, but in the case of that being that, like, now Jonathan's in debt to Winslow, which kind of is what he wanted anyway.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, you guys. All right. So before, all right. So we're going to quickly wrap up so we can do our predictions and find out what's coming up and gossip and whatever what's going on with our special guest, Joe. Okay. So as we end, which I have missed too, they always have like that friendly dinner drinks thing at the archive where they invite everybody over and they kind of just, oh, we did such a good job. And I always like that because it's like cute and short. You know what I mean? Like they're not there all day, but it's a nice little way, a nice little wrap up. And so now we finally get to meet the little kids and they seem cute and cool because sometimes kids can be like bad and mean, you know what I mean? And which I kind of thought was going to be like, okay, you're not our dead mama. So I thought it was going to be something like that, but they were actually really cute and adorable and they seemed kind of like vibe with her. So I loved that scene a lot.
They're okay with her. Their mom is dead. They need a new mom. They're sick of their dad's cooking.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I was the most excited to write was two things was the love date between, Dina and Mike, you know, getting that romance kickstarted. And I had a couple mandates, I had to do that kind of thing. The other one is introducing the kids. I love kids. I think it's so sweet.
So cute.
And getting Mike, you know, that sort of like over the, you know, he's going to introduce the kids to his new girlfriend. That's a big deal.
Yes.
Very emotional
yes.
for a family. You know, that kind of heart was great. But then the last thing was that little spark between Kay
and Cameron.
And Cameron.
Right. I was like, finally,
she's just like, she breaks like, her wall a little bit. Yeah. There's a crack in that wall.
I thought Elfinish did an amazing job through the whole episode of maintaining a certain disdain for him that she didn't let out until the end. I mean, she's a great actress and she really did that well.
Yeah, because it wasn't about you lying to me. It was about me being scared because something was going to happen to you. And that was like a really touching moment.
Yeah, I thought
a great way to close the scene.
And now they're in a no secret area, which I like.
Yes.
No secret room. We're in a no secret room nowhere.
Yes. A no secret room.
Jordan has $1,000 worth of drugs. I'm sorry. I have to say that.
Oh, yeah.
He still does. He never gets
it. Yes, it was hidden on his body because he is a magician. All right, you guys, let's wrap it up real quick. Let's do, we have a few picks for you for some gossip and news.
Yes, we've got some.
TV news.
All right, Cherry, take it away.
I'm super excited because you guys will have on the next episode, Brett Dalton. We all know him from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or as my other boyfriend.
Ooh.
So I'm super excited about that.
And he's looking very good with Kay right there. So maybe Kay will get some again. I mean, not again, just once in this episode. We want her to find love, but go ahead.
And then we wanted to talk about The Getting Away Clean. Because reading what David Kwan wrote on Twitter, clean means anything hidden in hands.
Yes.
And dirty hands means holding out something secretly.
Exactly. So kind of like what Joe kind of explained to us earlier was sort of the overall theme of getting rid of the evidence.
Magic.
So, yeah. All right, you guys. So, and then there is the crazy third hand, which I just have to love. You have to love that. Seeing that in the park has got to be a fun day.
It was so fun.
Such a cute. And he looks, Jordan, I love me some Jordan.
So cute.
All right, you guys, let's do our predictions before we get out of here. Predictions, party people.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right, Cherry. Take it away, Chanel.
I think in the next coming weeks, with our new guest star, Brett Dalton, there'll be some major flirtation between him and our favorite detective, our favorite FBI agent, and Cameron will feel a little bit of jealousy. And I think there's going to be a love triangle between her and Cameron and Jonathan.
Kay, Cameron, and Jonathan?
Yes.
Kay, Cameron, and Jonathan. Oh, you mean ultimately that they might
ultimately.
Have a love for
him. Okay, interesting.
You looking at me for clues?
Yes.
Okay, take it away.
Mystery Woman comes back. We'll hopefully figure out what Alistair was hiding, just how evil he might be, and I'm very interested in that. And I actually want to see Jonathan and Mystery Woman just meet up. Because, you know, he had that whole, like, daytime dream, which is sexy as hell. So, I want to actually see them, like, he forgives her for framing him. She gets over her grudge. And I just kind of want to see that romance blossom.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, now I do, too. Oh, that sounds great.
All right, Joe, do you want to give a prediction? If you can't, if you cannot.
Oh, my God. I predict
that your show's going to get renewed and we'll be back here next season.
That's right. I predict season 2. Watch. Please watch a lot of Deception so we get a season 2, because we have some great ideas for season 2, I have to tell you.
You have four more episodes, right?
Three more.
10, 11, 12, 13. So four more.
Four more. You're right. Okay, so my predictions are, Jonathan, I think I've said this before. I think Jonathan sooner or later is going to have to, get in somebody's gang. So he's going to have to affiliate with Winston, because after you know, even if you wear those magazines forever, that's not going to always protect you. And I do feel like, Cameron or someone's going to have to come through to really save him from this frame up. I'm really hoping that Kay and the new detective get it together. I do hope that she and the new detective flirt a little bit. And
he's so handsome.
He is. And I think that's it, you guys. I'm not it with the predictions, but anyway, that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for watching. This was so much fun. Again, I am your host, Erica Edwards, and you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Alright, Joe, give them your social media. So
I am at Joe Paracchio on Twitter. And I'm also on Instagram, and I have no idea what that handle is. But maybe just search for my name on there.
Cool. Hey, guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me later tonight at 10 p.m. on Riverdale for this episode and the finale of next week's episode. And Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. for the finale of Rise. It's going to get crazy, guys, and I can't wait.
Hey, this is Cherry. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Cherry_LA. And follow me on The Expanse on Sunday nights, The 100 Tuesday at 11 p.m. And, of course, me and Erica on
The Terror. Oh, and then I'll be on the season finale of Barry as well next Monday. So check that out. That's a great after show as well. All right, you guys. Ciao for now.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.